it's amazing how in your engaged stage, right, you wanted to be together all the time. You talked about everything. You were connecting. Your learning curve during that engagement phase was just rapid, right? Like exponential, if you're a statistician in here. Huge learning curve. You're absorbing everything. You're doing everything together. It's a great, exciting phase. Arlen and I had the opportunity in our Gridley local church to do a lot of premarital counseling with some couples. And it's so cute. It's so endearing. It's great to see the turning towards each other and like, well, what do you think, dear? Well, what do you think, dear? It's so amazing to be reminded of that, because as life marches on, and I'm guessing by the wisdom and the youth represented in this room, that you can attest to that. Marriage is going to change in ebb and flow. Connecting here is going to look very different than connecting to today. And it should, right? It should. But yet, today's workshop, the goal is, I want you to continually think as you leave today, how can I say yes to my marriage? How can I be intentional? How can I prioritize? How, even if you have to use the word schedule, can I schedule my marriage? Okay? So kind of those key words you'll hear throughout. To get some of your audience participation, we're going to use something called Poll Everywhere. So just go ahead and open up your text, your texting. What this is going to allow us to do is to kind of anonymously participate. Some of us in here are extroverts, some of us are not. I won't tell you which one is the better, I'm kidding. But I want you to participate as we talk through some of these concepts of date nights and intentionality, okay? So the first poll, how many of you in here have purposeful date nights? Purposeful is what's hiding behind there. I'm not sure why that's showing up there. Purposeful date nights. You can type in A, yes we do, B, no we don't. And like a date night every now and then that's not super scheduled, that would qualify as no. Just so you know. Purposeful, yep, and it's starting to show up. So the responses are coming in. We have a fact checker in the room or what? Okay. It should only have purposeful date nights. This one should only allow you to like reply once. There will be some where you can text in like different answers, okay? Now, if most of you would have said yes, my job would be done. We could all go home, that type of thing. But my gut told me that in today's world, whether we're older, younger, in between, scheduling purposeful date nights doesn't necessarily happen, okay? It's an effort. You have to think about it and do it, all right? Those 24% of you in here who do, great, okay? Those of us who are in the 76%, we have a lot to learn, and we can learn from the other ones. But just be aware of that. What does date mean? So, thinking about this, three definitions come up from Merriam-Webster.com, basically. We use this word actually interchangeably. We do it in our life frequently, especially the first idea of a definition, appointment to meet at a specified time. When I need to go to the dentist, the eye doctor, the car repair, right? I set a date and I do it. I need to change my oil, it's important. My eyes need checking, it's important. I do it. I don't schedule something that I don't think is important. Second definition, a social engagement between two people often has a romantic character to it, right? That's often the kind of thing we think of when, oh, we're on a date. Between two people, a specific time set aside that is important with a romantic character added to it. And the third definition, a person with whom one has a usually romantic idea, bringing a date to the dance. So what these last two here show that I love, that kind of is illustrated throughout this conference, is it's a connection. You have a desire to be with that person at that specified time. You didn't choose somebody else. You chose that person. There's a desire. There's a desired connection. I want to be there, right? We don't go on dates where we don't necessarily want to be at, all right? Use these definitions as kind of a launch pad into, I wonder where she's headed from here, or do I ever think about this when I think about it in relation to my marriage, okay? A scheduled, it's important, connecting time. Next poll everywhere. What is the biggest hindrance for you, and we have various ages and marriage levels represented here, to schedule date nights? What is the biggest hindrance to schedule date nights? One word answers if you can. If you can't do it in one word, don't use a space. But go ahead, type in for your texting purposes. Kids. Money. Work. Kids. Finding a babysitter. Go with your gut reply here. Like, you can maybe confer with your spouse, but you and your spouse can participate in this. Early bedtime. It's interesting to see as these come up, kind of what the like heart of the room is regarding these pieces. Can I solve all of these pieces for you here today in the next half hour? So probably not. But can I give you some things to think about to help you encourage your intentionality in your marriage? Absolutely. Kids is going to be a big one. Time, fascinating. Priorities, don't know what to do. I am glad whoever typed that, you're in this session. Seem to be busy. Amazingly enough, we will make time for other things in our lives, but it comes to connecting and dating our spouse. We're like, oh, that's what we used to do. You know, that wasn't, do I have to do a date? Can't we just go to dinner? Maybe. That's part of it. Okay. Intentionality in marriage and the importance thereof. What is steering my marriage? If you were to ask your best friends, your mom and dad, somebody of that nature, in one word answer, what is steering my marriage? What would you get? What is controlling would be another way to say my marriage. What priorities do my husband and I have in my marriage? This is really vulnerable for me and Arlen to think about when we're talking and choosing schedules, priorities, etc. What is steering my marriage? How do I know? Is it my work schedule? Right? Some of you were pretty honest and said work is a hard thing to, you know, take time away from. I appreciate that honesty. Is it kids? Kids are so demanding, right? You're basically keeping alive, raising, keeping safe, stewarding their hearts, teaching them constantly, these people. That takes a lot of time. Is that steering my marriage? Is that more important than the person I said I do to X amount of years ago? Okay. Relationships. Are there relationships I turn to quicker than I turn to my spouse? Are there relationships in my life that I turn to quicker than my spouse? Church. Even good things can steer my marriage if I'm not careful, right? Good things can steer my marriage positively, but if it's taking precedence and priorities over my spouse and my marriage relationship, that gets tricky. That gets very tricky. Another question for you and your spouse to consider, as I ask rhetorically, who is helping us, my spouse and I, navigate our marriage? So if this is kind of an inward focused question, who is helping us navigate it? Life is going to get hard, and many of you in this room have been blessed with very godly, God-honoring parents or in-laws that are great, great mentors in your life. But I would encourage you through your local church, your community, somewhere that you can turn to brothers and sisters in Christ as an additional support network to say, hey, when life gets tough, when you lose a parent, you lose a child, fertility issues step in, communication issues hit, I just need somebody else to ask in a safe environment these questions to help navigate my marriage. What does it look like after retirement? Are you relearning who your spouse is during that time? Right? There's a lot of different avenues here, but can my spouse and I honestly answer today who is helping us navigate our marriage and the intentional peace that creates for my marriage? What is the vision for my marriage? Do you guys have a theme verse? If you would ask your kids, whether little or grown, what would they say mom and dad's priorities are? We asked our kids that recently. You kind of cringe when you ask them, right? What are they going to say? That's a really good bird's eye view into what is steering and how are we navigating our marriage. What is a priority in our marriage and in our family, right? How do you know mom and dad love each other? That's a great question, especially for little young minds and hearts. And if they say, well, because I see you hug or I see you kiss, why do mom and dad do that? Right? For older kids, a great question is, if you envision yourself getting married someday, what kind of marriage do you want? Let him list off the perfect marriage, right? And then say, do mom and dad illustrate that? Do you want a marriage like ours? That's really hard and pretty vulnerable to ask, right? Think about that. Are we modeling, we're helping, we're getting help, we're navigating, are we modeling, steering our marriage towards gospel principles? That's really hard and vulnerable. But if we're honest with ourselves, that's a great heart check and being intentional towards that. What you put in, that was the last one. What you put into your marriage is what you'll get out of it. Absolutely. What you're putting in this weekend, hopefully and prayerfully, will be paid dividends. Maybe not tomorrow. Certainly not on the way to church tomorrow. I don't know about y'all, but on the way to church is not the best time for conversation in our van. But there are going to be blessings and jewels that investing in the relationship sitting right beside you will pay for years to come. Okay? Pursue together and compromise regularly. When you were first engaged, right, you did everything together, like I mentioned. Life without the person was just, I can't live without them. How is this going to happen? What does this look like? You are created amazingly together. God's spiritual union in Scripture is very, very clear about, do I believe that being married to my spouse helps the gospel more than being separate? Do be married to my spouse, being together, does that illustrate, do I acknowledge that I am better for the gospel with my spouse than separate? Now, I'm not going to put on a pedestal marriage above singleness, okay? That's not what this talk is, and that's not the intention. But we are together. We are created different, yet we are created together. Arlen and I are very different in many, many ways. His passions are different than my passions, but yet there's certain commonalities. And lots of times in the stress, in the differences, in the rub, we often focus on those differences so much that we forget the common. Right? We forget the common. Appreciate the passions of your spouse. You were attracted to each other for a reason. God placed you in each other's life for a reason. So what was that? Right? A couple years ago, we're in an out-of-state potluck group with some friends, and they asked Arlen and I to write the small devotion for Saturday morning, and so we did. And one of the questions we asked is, what first attracted you to this spouse? We had a range of marriages. Some had been almost married 20 years and some like right under 10. And it was amazing to see some of our closest friends turn towards each other as the husband said to the wife, well, I remember her in the young group and I remember like at this one activity. And then the wife turned to the husband and be like, it was so endearing. And then it was Arlen and Katie's turn. And we're like, oh yeah, we wrote the devotion. We have to now talk about this. But it was so cute to see and remind ourselves of that engagement time, of the connecting together, the attraction. What did we pursue then? It's going to look maybe different X amount of years down the road. But there's things that you pursue together, okay? What made your heart stop? What did you have in common? Remember, we always, oh, we have so much in common. Compromise regularly. Take turns choosing date night locations, arranging sitters and schedules. Take what we did up there in that pool everywhere, the work, the kids, the schedules, the overcommitments, too busy, too tired, all of those pieces. Take that and say, you know what? For 2 hours, we are going to prioritize this. Let's figure out it together. Okay? Let's figure out that together. Appreciate the passions of your spouse, regardless if they are greatly different in here. Raise your hand in here if you and your spouse are greatly different. Opposites attract is so true. Arlen and I would probably raise our hand as well, okay? We might have the exact same kind of history teaching degree, but our passions are, what fills our bucket is greatly different, okay? Is greatly different. And most of the time, the person sitting beside you, you could ask each other and you would probably know what fills your bucket, what fills your bucket. And you could tell each other as well. So pursue together, compromise regularly. We'll get into a little bit more specifics here in a bit about that. But I would encourage you, Don't let the differences in your personality be greater than what brought you together. Okay? Don't let the differences in your personalities be greater than what brought you together. And remember that and honor that. Cherish that. Talk about that if you have to. Okay? All right. We'll go back to the connect regularly here. Date night ideas. No spaces in this. What are some of the things that you and your spouse enjoy doing on a date night? It can be places you attend. It can be just like a general idea. I don't want to give too many specifics here, but don't space your answer. So if it's several words, just keep it together. Don't space it. What are some date? Food tour, very fun idea. Nature, go on a walk, painting, hiking, picnics, walk and picnic. Some outdoorsmen here. So as it's getting bigger, the word cloud gets bigger. That means more of you are typing it in and choosing that. Games, okay. Eating out, no cooking, ladies. Isn't that the best part of a date night? Amen, yes. Tennis, that's fun, good. Ooh, what's, okay, I see one up here, it's split. But this is one of my favorite, mini golf, great. Do sometimes things like mini golf, though, create a rub if, like, you're competing and, like, maybe this one spouse is better than the other spouse? I don't know if you can, I'm asking for a friend type of deal here. Okay, watch a movie at home together. What's, I'm getting captured up here is it doesn't have to, number one, cost a lot of money. It can be adventurous. It can be mundane. Life in marriage is often lived in the mundane, right? Ooh, four-wheeling. Golf. Dinner. There typically means usually is some kind of food, right, involved. That's always pleasant. Barnes and Nobles is up there, right? I think this is what the Noble and the Barnes is. A concert. Movies. Hunting. Oh, bless that wife's heart for hunting with her husband. That is compromising regularly. I'm not gonna lie. Okay, dinner, painting, being outdoors. How many of you in this room tend to just kind of go to what you usually do? Like, oh, it's date night and we're just gonna like go where we usually go. Like same location maybe for dinner, same idea, yeah. It's safe, right? You don't have to put a lot of thought into it. And that's fine, okay? That's completely fine. Sometimes little thought is okay at that point. The goal of this is to just give ideas. If you guys wanna screenshot that, you can with your cell phones. Personally, the food is good, right? Choosing different places can kind of be maybe a compromise. One spouse chooses one time, another spouse chooses the next time. Barnes and Nobles is a great place if you're book lovers. My husband and I, that is one place that we can go to time and time again, have a different conversation every time, but we are literature lovers. So that's a piece there. Star watching, there's some avid astronomers in here. Four-wheeling, you think star watching is put out by newlyweds? Actually, my husband just grabbed my kids out of bed on a night. The stars were beautiful. I had to give him props for that because I was fuming mad. He got them out from bedtime. But then when I got out there, I'm like, this actually was pretty incredible. I'm glad you did that. The goal here is just to see a variety. It doesn't have to cost money. It doesn't have to take a lot of time. And it doesn't have to be far away, right? You can unplug if you schedule and you want to connect locally as well, okay? Locally as well. Those are some great ideas. Thanks for sharing there. Now, I've never hunted, so I can't imagine this, but there is a piece, regardless of what you choose, that if you're going somewhere to just like not talk to each other, you probably should rethink that, right? There should be at some point an intentional connecting conversation, whether it's dinner, Barnes and Noble, like sometimes I'd rather stick my head in a book, then maybe talk about the budget or something, for instance, okay? What do we talk about? Go ahead and type in some answers about things you talk about while you're on a date or while you're connecting. Not kids. Isn't it amazing that we schedule time away from our children only to talk about the children? Do you catch yourself like, why? Well, okay, I as a wife, I'm trying to catch my husband up on maybe their developmental, academic, social, emotional, all these needs, but we're not talking about each other. We're talking about the kids again. Like, we're talking about what's preventing us from talking during the daily mundane, okay? Dreams or projects, the budget. Breathe, the budget, always the budget. Planning, future goals, that's great. Grands, cute. Let me ask you this, as you continue to put questions up there. Have you ever asked your spouse, if you knew you could not fail, what would you do? If you knew you could not fail, what would you do? Could you guess before you whisper into each other's ears the answer for your spouse? If you knew you could not fail, what would you do? Number one, it's kind of interesting, regardless if you've been married several years or few years, what they would say. Trying to figure out our junk. I love it. The goal with that concept is, number one, it reveals their heart. Like, I never knew that about them. Or maybe they really did want to go back to school and finish a degree or get another degree or travel somewhere. Life maybe sometimes changes those dreams and goals, but if I knew I could not fail, what would I do? We recently did a couple years ago in Gridley, Family Life's marriage, like at-home seminar. Great resource too if you'd want to do something like that in your local church. And the one couple, probably 5 years married or so under, said to us, they had a long-distance engagement, and they said, we talked about everything when we were engaged. We talked about so many things. And now we're married, we're like, what do we talk about, right? What kind of questions besides the kids and work? And those things are great, right? I'm not trying to misplace those in conversation. But lots of times, if I'm going to connect with my spouse, I need to set aside those everyday mundane things, and I need to connect on a heart level. What is my greatest fear? Right now, if you could change something with a snap of your finger, what would it be? Could you answer that for your spouse? Right now, if you could change something with a snap of your finger, what would it be? There's great questions. There's a downloadable PDF on our accccounseling.org website. It's called Spiritual Union Activities. And in there, there's different activities, and former marriage conferences have gone through it. Spiritual Union. And in there, there's a list of about 20 questions. Your childhood memory. What was the most formative childhood memory growing up for you? It can be a positive formative memory. It could be a negative. And could you guess it for your spouse right now? Would you know what that is? Who most shaped you in your early life? Okay. There's questions that one question at a dinner table, right? It breaks my heart when Arlen and I are going out to dinner and I see couples going out to dinner and they're on their phones and they're not talking and they're not connecting, right? And then I'm realizing I'm watching them and not connecting with my husband. So, the challenge is there. The intentional piece is important. You are connecting with simple questions, simple back and forth. It doesn't have to be formal, right? It can be in everyday life. But when you do schedule a date night, you're number one saying it's important, it's a priority, and why not use that time uninterrupted to connect on deeper levels, okay? To connect on deeper levels. Where are we at for time? Okay. Kids, money, dogs, dreams, vision. In 2006, when we got married, our dreams and vision looked very different than it does today. That's the amazing thing about this marriage journey, right? We're not the same people we were when we were engaged, and God doesn't call us to that. He wants us to grow. He wants us to grow together. And so that's kind of a repeated great thing that what I would have said in 2006 is vastly different than what I would say today, right? Last little piece here to kind of encourage and leave you with, connecting regularly. So it's not just a date night. How often would you subscribe? What do you think date nights, how often should they happen? What do you think? Once or twice a month, okay. Any different answers? once a week? No, just kidding. Counselors would say that once a month, retreating is for sure like a very healthy thing. So I'm going to skip ahead to the monthly thing here. Now, thinking about that, you're all in various stages of marriage. Every marriage is different in here, and that's the beautiful thing God created. Some of you in here have great support systems where you live with family or friends, church, local, you name it, okay? Some of us in here don't necessarily have that, or our support systems change. When I first started having children, we had an incredible support system that right now is kind of in a different period of life due to my father-in-law's illness. So we have to take that to account in our marriage, or we have to compensate and find a different support system, okay? I think that's a lot of life, right? Ebbing and flowing, and it should go the same for our marriage. So how can I make one date night a month possible? What does that look like? Is there any suggestions in here? I don't have a poll everywhere for this, of how you find babysitters. What does that look like? Work schedules? Any ideas that you can just throw out here? Don't wait till the last minute. So looking ahead, knowing maybe like the end of the month for some of you is maybe a busier time if you're in accounting or something like that versus just like planning on the cuff. Some of you in here are on the cuff planners, which is fine. But realize for a date night to be important, it probably means looking ahead. Okay, excellent. Thanks, Susie. Any other ideas? How does this look? Go ahead. Sure. Okay. So similar concept, look ahead, putting it in your planners and holding it sacred, right? There's a lot of things that we're just like, oh, well, we can't miss that. You know, it takes 2 months to get in with the orthodontist. Well, how long does it take for you to schedule with your spouse? Okay. Heather, you had your hand up.
When our kids were younger, we had a group of probably 6 or 8 couples with younger kids that we did, like a babysitting sharing thing.
Great.
Where one month, half the couple could stay with all of the kids. Mm-hmm. The other half went out, and the next month it flip-flopped.
Right.
And it made it so that the kids all enjoyed. They looked forward to the night.
Sure.
And then even as couples, if you were the one like staying back and watching the kids, it was so fun to do
other couples. That's a great idea. There's a group in Gridley that does that as well, Babysitting Share. Thanks for sharing that, where you just kind of, regardless of number of kids, usually you're same age as life, right? And so now you're having that every other month, right? Which is, I mean, still more, you're scheduled. Did you hold that month sacred? Was it always the same time a month? Like third Sunday or something like that?
I don't remember how we scheduled that. I don't know.
But you honored that relationship of your marriage, and you honored the relationships that it took to get the support needed. That's a great, right? You knew, oh, well, we can't schedule something else because we need to, you know, fulfill this commitment, right? We fulfill commitments all the time, every single day in our life. And yet when it comes to fulfilling a commitment to the person we love most, it's so hard for some reason. Thank you for sharing that, Heather. Any other ideas about support specifically for kids? Kids was obviously a huge piece up here. Daily. Let's go back up here to daily. What time of day works the best for you both to connect? If you were in our other workshop, or you've probably heard, the average couple connects on non-logistics like less than 5 minutes a day. Non-logistics, you know, scheduling, carpooling here, there, church, work, less than 5 minutes. That's sad, right? But what time of day works best for you both? So I would love to connect fresh, first cup of coffee, 6 a.m., like nobody's up yet, it's super quiet, like quick, let's like, what's your day look like, what's going to be hard, how can I pray for you? So it's logistics, but it's the heart with the logistic, right? Arlen absolutely hates that, okay? Because he's like sitting, his cup of coffee, it's quiet, he's reading his Bible, reading whatever book he's reading, doing his prayer journal. He would rather connect when it's around 5:30, he's on his way home from work, and he's got a lot to talk about by then, right? And what am I at 5 or 5:30 doing every single day? I'm making dinner, or sure, if we're in a kid somewhere. It's like the kids melt down all the time during this attempted connection time. So there's got to be a time that with you both, with scheduling, Maybe it's under 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be an hour conversation about something super hard. But it's something that goes a little bit more than logistics. It's about your heart. Sometimes it's at the end of the day. Lots of times with our family, we do highs and lows at dinner time, right? So we're asking our kids, tell me what your high of the day was. What was your low? And we as adults say it too. And so then I have like a springboard into his day, right? This was really hard. I need to talk to him about that later, right? I have an idea. So it doesn't have to be like a specified time. It can change. But talk to each other about that. What does that look like for your daily routine? And it might change up. If you're a farmer in here, that's going to look different from season to season. Okay? Weekly. Is there a time you hold sacred as a couple or a family? When planning schedules, remember to look ahead. I appreciated Susie's point there. I think sometimes we're like, yes, we have a whole week ahead of us. This is great. And then you forget to look like the 2 weeks next. Like, well, okay, we better meter this. What does that look like? Should I have said yes to this commitment? Should we say no? Okay. A weekly time you hold sacred. Sometimes it's an evening. Lately with my children's schedule, with school and our traveling schedule for our jobs, Friday morning generally works pretty good for us. We go grab a cup of coffee. We go on a walk, something like that. That springboards us into a very busy weekend or a very busy next week. Okay. But it's our weekly time. Sometimes it's an evening. Sometimes Sunday evenings, a lot of families hold sacred. What does that look like for you and your spouse and your marriage? And then annually, how many of you get away at least once a year? Doesn't have to be for a week, maybe a weekend, once a year. Okay. Getting away annually, the supports are needed are a lot greater, okay? So we realize that, but a yearly getaway, most marriage counselors would say, is huge. You shut off the email. The phones go down to bare minimum. Sometimes that means a beach. Sometimes that means hiking. Sometimes that just means relaxation, okay? Does it mean the same location? Sometimes financially, that's legit. Does it mean varied? What does that look like for you? Okay? Be thinking about these, though. Daily, weekly, monthly, annually. Any ideas for the annually here on supports needed? Locations, what you found to be helpful, not helpful, things here that have been a benefit. Go ahead.
I will share a warning I had and a challenge from a close friend years ago on this. It said, Bob, how many of these getaways don't involve something around your business or around school board? And it really challenged me because I realized that a lot of getaways were tied with that.
So you took advantage, or you were efficient in certain travels that were committed for work or for other commitments you had already had. Sure. But was your whole heart on her? Probably not. Right. That's a very, very valid point. Any other suggestions on this last piece? Go ahead.
She likes to anticipate and plan together.
How does that look then when you are on vacation? Do you plan some and then do like spontaneously some things?
We're still learning.
So when you say plan, do you mean like the itinerary every day? Okay. Okay.
I'm just impulsive. Let's just do this.
Sure.
He's gotten less impulsive. He's considered me now. I'm not focused so selfishly. Okay.
You really like to anticipate? Yeah.
Yeah. How many of you are more spontaneous than super planning? Some spontaneous? That spouse is like, ugh.
What we worked out was, I'll say, hey, I think this weekend's going to work, and I think maybe we could go to this spot, and then I let her know, and then she starts looking and researching.
Okay.
And then she's excited to go.
Sure. That's sweet. That's a great compromise, right? So you're communicating, you're reaching out, you're doing the initial, and then somewhat spontaneously, is it like thought ahead? Is it like tomorrow?
It might be a month.
Okay. Okay. That's not too bad. Yeah. That's fine. That's fine, she said. And then you allow the planning piece to go. So the planning for you is the anticipation. Is that what I'm hearing? Yeah, sure. Absolutely. That makes sense. I would say my husband and I are actually role reversal on that. I would love to just like, okay, let's go to Florida and then we'll figure it out. And he's just like, absolutely not. We are going, the Everglades open at 10 and then the, you know, alligator feeding's at 11:30 and just like, Can we just like enjoy the Everglades a little, you know, that type of thing. So it's a compromise, right? So he'll get me to the Everglades and then I'll be like, hey, what about, and he's pretty good. He is really good about rolling with it. But any other, Susie?
And also if we can find a reason for it, and that doesn't stress me out, but it does stress him out, so kind of.
Say that louder for the group.
Just to financially plan.
Yes.
The annual thing, especially if it's at a place that
cost money, sure.
Including food in that, or, you know, if it's overnight and all of that. And just making sure, I'm the more spontaneous.
Sure, sure.
Just to make sure that
the budget is, right. And that, I would encourage you, lots of times we'll pay for things that are fun things, or maybe our spouse thinks ridiculous things, or things that you're just like, okay, this is kind of a little privilege or a treat, that type of thing. But are we willing to invest and kind of put our money where our marriage is? That's the key. Can you put your money where your marriage is? So honestly, that's important, right? You are saying we need to set aside time. We are choosing other budget things, and we're going to put it here. I would agree with that. That is important because you can choose a lot of things with your budget. A lot of things, Alicia.
I was going to say for kids, which we only have one baby, so we haven't had the situation. But my brother and his wife are getting away for a week this winter, and the child care was like kind of stressing them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't want to dump three kids on our parents for a week. And so I think just like not being afraid to like divide your child care. Like, my mom and grandpa are going to watch them for 3 days.
Sure.
And then we're going to ask our friend or cousin to take 2 days. They're just kind of like.
And more.
Right.
For the same time, for the consistency of the child. Yeah. And more caregivers, regardless if it's family, friends, are willing to say yes for 3 days versus seven. That's a very good point. It's a very good point. Yeah, for sure. Any other ideas? Scott.
To the financial side of it, we have like an account where when we do side jobs, the money goes in that, and then that money is towards vacation.
Sure. Super smart. Super smart. Yep. And does it maybe motivate you sometimes to take side jobs more frequently to build that account up? I hear ya. Very good. Great ideas. So but he said side jobs, that account then goes up for what you put into that type of thing. Excellent ideas. With the child care support, I do want to be very, very sensitive. Different kids have different needs. And so if there is a specific intense need for your children that something like this can't happen. Maybe it's for a season. Maybe it's until a certain age. Obviously, be sensitive to that. We're not saying your kids' needs should not be met because of a specific marital getaway. There are different needs for different kids, and just to be respectful of that. That might look different as kids age and grow. So just to be respectful of that. Any other pieces? Sharing here of wisdom of getaways, what you do, what has been helpful, intentional. Does anyone have a dream list of where they want to go, like locations? Just the Shoemakers and the Millers in here? Seriously? Come on. There's a couple of you. Okay. Yeah, how many of you, the Millers love to travel, and so what we usually end up doing when we've kind of compiled our list over the years is it's like, it's an Arlen choice, a Katie choice, and then family. Arlen choice, Katie choice, and then family. Because honestly, we love to travel with our kids, but kids are, it's called a trip, not a vacation, okay? It's two different things. So with Arlen, typically he has his list of, you know, areas. He loves national parks, so he would hike us all over creation if he could. Versus I would like to just like sit on a beach and read a book. So just to compromise on that, right? We're compromising by allowing him a choice, my a choice, and then family. That's important. But it's great to have dreams or that would be really cool to see someday. I got to check one off my bucket list a couple years ago when I saw the Hoover Dam. A little bit weird, I realize. But I've always just wanted to see that amazing creation, to tour it, to learn about it, like what does it provide, how did they build this, just the history piece of it to me was fascinating, and it was really cool, the kids enjoyed it, so right, we were a little efficient, Katie, family, everybody went together, but just dreaming and seeing those things, it's really neat, and as your kids grow, allow them to help choose, so kind of fun. Any other pieces here before we close? The goal of this workshop was to just kind of create and to discuss ideas, but also to realize how you can say yes to your marriage on a regular basis, whether it's daily, weekly, monthly, or yearly. Anytime you can choose a priority, an intentional commitment that says yes to my marriage, God is going to bless that for sure.